As I said many, many times, without Freud and his insights, you would not have A Course in Miracles. And the whole understanding of the ego thought system is heavily based on Freud's insights. Not always with his full theory in back of it, because Freud believed that every problem went back to some form of infantile sexuality. That's really not the position of the Course. But his description of how the psyche worked in response to its core problem, which for him was repressed infantile sexuality, really goes at the heart of what the Course tells us about how the ego functions. When you read Freud, especially his case studies, but almost everything else that he wrote, you have the sense of like he's really a Sherlock Holmes in disguise. It's like he's a detective on the chase. What's the phrase Holmes always used to use? There's a phrase he used. Not being on the make. The case is afoot or something like that. All right. Well, Freud was always afoot. He was always looking for the bad guy, and he found it. Right? And once he found it, he never let it go. And then the rest of his work was describing what the bad guy was and how we dealt with the bad guy. And the bad guy was these repressed instinctual impulses, the thoughts that we found totally unacceptable, which the Course would tell us is guilt, and then how we handled it. And what gave him the clue as to what the bad guy was expressed in his first major book, and actually his greatest book, The Interpretation of Dreams. And it was through analyzing dreams, and then from that, he analyzed everything else. Hard and fast upon the publication of Interpretation of Dreams in 1899 was his book on jokes, his book on what we now call Freudian slips. And he began analyzing everything as the clues that would lead him back to finding the criminal, right? And to his great credit, once he found the criminal, he never let him go. You know, for 40 years, that his whole work was basically saying to the world, you have to look at this. Many of you have heard me cite the statement that Jesus had said to Helen when she was taking down the Course in the early weeks. And he spoke of Freud, and he said, Freud knew a bad thing when he perceived it. He just didn't know bad things don't exist. And there, in a nutshell, is both Freud's greatest gift to the world as well as his mistake. He was very clear about what the bad thing was, which was what the Course would call the ego. He did not realize that the ego itself was an illusion and was a defense, a way of striking back at the mind's ability to choose the Holy Spirit. But he did know a bad thing when he saw it. Right, and so his whole theory was really based, and his whole life's work, and he wrote very, very well, so that there's a literacy that you find that makes his work very compelling, as well as what he's talking about, was to identify the criminal and then how to bring the criminal to justice, which is what psychoanalysis' purpose was, to make the unconscious conscious, to make us aware of what it was that we were so afraid of, and how we dealt with it. Right. And so he talked about this bad guy, which we'll call guilt. That was not that again. He discussed infantile sexuality as being the problem, and then our guilt around this. But then what we did with it was the real problem. Right? What we did with it was we repressed it. Right? And there's the magical idea that if I don't see something, it's not there. This is the ostrich principle. You know, there's a danger. The ostrich sticks its head in the sand and then maladaptively and magically believes, well, if I don't see the problem, it's not there and I'm safe. Or meanwhile, the whole rest of his body is exposed. Right? Well, we all have that same ostrich principle. We believe, which is what repression or denial seeks to achieve, we believe that if we don't see the problem, it's not there. Right? One of Freud's big statements, it's always quoted, is very, very important, was that what is repressed is still there. It's alive. Right? And Freud, when he talked about the unconscious, he talked about it as if it were a thing, as if it were alive. Right? And that so what we repress still remains there, except it doesn't remain there. Right? It always tries to get out. Right. That's the return of the repressed. We repress what we're so ashamed of and so guilty over, But then it makes its way out. And what makes Freud's work so intriguing and even enthralling to read is how he describes how this gets out. Or he describes the repressed as always trying to get out into consciousness. Right, so when we talk about something being repressed, we're saying it's unconscious or we're not aware of it. And yet there's something inside that is always trying to get out. But it can't get out directly. And here's where the great conflict always occurs in Freud's work. It's the conflict between this upward motion of the repressed trying to get out. In other words, trying to kind of break the barrier that keeps things unconscious, and so that we now become aware of it, and this counterforce, which he called resistance, that's trying to push it back down. Right? The counterforce is too powerful. So what's unconscious can never come out in its raw form. Right? Just as the Course tells us, and we'll come back to this idea over the course of the day, the Course tells us the ego's goal is murder. Well, most of us, most of the time, do not walk around physically murdering people. But the murderous thought comes out, but in indirect ways. Right? That's a key Freudian concept. Right? This unconscious guilt is always trying to get out. But it can't get out in a direct way because the resistance is too great. So it has to find circuitous ways of doing it. Right? When Freud published Interpretation of Dreams in 1899, the publication date actually is 1900, but that's because the publisher wanted to have a nice round number, you know, the beginning of the millennium. But it actually was published in 1899. The epigraph that Freud put, in other words, he put a famous quotation at the head of the book, and it's from Virgil, from Virgil's Aeneid. And the statement is, if I cannot bend the higher powers, I will move the infernal regions. The infernal regions would be like the internal regions. If I cannot bend the higher powers, I will move the infernal region. All right. And that became the motto of the whole book. And in fact, one could say it's a model of all of Freud's work, that what's unconscious can't get out. I can't bend the higher powers. The resistance is too great. But I will work within the mind itself, the internal powers, and I will get out somehow in a disguised form. Right? Once again, just getting ahead of ourselves, in the Course, the disguised form for this unconscious murderous thought that we all have is special relationships. Especially special love relationships. So what Jesus does in the Course is what Freud did. Right? He painstakingly shows us how special love is not what we think. It conceals this desire to kill under the guise of love, kindness, mercy, sympathy, helpfulness, charity, etc., religion, which aims at being religions of love. But if you scratch beneath the surface a little bit, and Jesus gives us the tools in this book to do so, just as Freud did in his own way, we begin to see that what we're really seeing is a thinly veiled thought of murder that seems to be loving, kind, etc. Well, Freud did that for us. Right? He showed how this murderous thought inside, right? And one of the key infantile sexual thoughts is what he called the Oedipus complex, which is the desire to kill one's father, right? Or the parent of the opposite sex. He usually spoke about men, right? But certainly the same dynamics we work with women too. All right, the desire to kill the son to kill the father and marry the mother. All right, and this became, as his work matured over the years, this almost became like a racial memory. All right, that was in the species, or the whole primal horde idea that in primitive time the sons rose up and killed the father and possessed the mother. Right. And actually, when he talked about religion, all right, that was, in fact, one of his last books was called Moses and Monotheism, which is a strange book, but it's a very powerful book. And in there, he talked more than any other place in all his 40 years of work about the return of the repressed. He now talked about that not on an individual level, but on a racial level, racial in the sense of the species Homo sapiens. That this ancient memory of killing the father then metamorphosed over time and became religion, Judaism, and then Christianity. right? The whole idea of killing the father, killing the son, then denying it all, and then saying God is a loving father, etc. Right? But Freud's work, and again, you see the exact same dynamic at work in the course, is to expose the lie of our everyday living. Right? So he did it through analyzing dreams, slips of the tongue, jokes, works of art, works of literature, neurotic symptoms, and showing in each of these cases, you saw the return of the repressed. This murderous thought, which was repressed, somehow through circuitous routes, found its way into the conscious mind. Right? And so then you would work backwards from these external expressions to get back to the criminal, to this murderous thought. That's what Jesus does, except he simplifies the process. All right. Those of you who were here yesterday remember that I read a passage from chapter 15 about how it's not necessary to trace fear through all its circuitous routes. Well, the phrase circuitous routes is Freud's phrase. Except for Freud, it was a positive term. All right. Because he was the detective on the chase. And so he used all the circuitous routes that the psyche used to reverse the process and to find the criminal. Jesus says, and of course you don't have to do all that. Because the problem is not guilt. The problem is not what happened in your past, whether it's the past of the species or the past of your personal life. The problem is your mind's current decision to choose guilt. How that guilt manifests itself in your special relationships is irrelevant. You don't have to analyze all of that. Because Jesus is telling us, I'm already telling you who the criminal is. In quotes. The criminal is your mind's decision maker that chose the ego. All you have to do is remember that whenever you're upset about anything, whenever you're involved in any special relationship, special love or special hate, you go right back to the source, you change your mind, and that's it. So his solution in the course is far different from Freud's solution. But the basic concept is the same. Right. The repressed returns, meaning the guilt that we had made real and for an instant we were conscious of, which we then repress, that guilt then returns. What was repressed now returns into conscious awareness, but we're not aware of it anymore. We think it's something else. So in Freud's day, most people tended to dismiss dreams as being silly. You know, it came from something you ate, it came from something you saw yesterday, but they had no real meaning. And he showed, as many people obviously over centuries have understood, that dreams are pregnant with meaning. But he used the dreams as a way of showing that the dream language, right, was a disguised form of the problem. Right? What seemed to be an innocent slip of the tongue or a slip of the pen, right, was really disguising this unconscious thought. Right? What was found in these great works of art, these great works of literature, when you analyze them, as Freud did, you would find, Freud claimed, you would find disguised forms, symbols, that point back to this unconscious guilt. Right? Again, in his own way, Jesus says the very same thing to us in this course. That if you want to understand your mind's mistaken choice for the ego, pay attention to all the symbols in your everyday life. And they will show you that world you see is an outside picture of an inward condition. That's the line at the beginning of chapter 21. The world you see is an outside picture of an inward condition. So we need the outside world and all of its symbols to present to our new teacher, or our new analyst, as it were, who will show us that what I'm reacting to outside and making real outside is an outside picture of the inward condition of my mind's having chosen the ego. That's the criminal. So I don't have to go through endless analyses. You know, I don't have to follow all the circuitous routes that fear has taken in order to come up with the bad guy. This saves you years and years of analysis, you know, a ton of money, all right, hassling with insurance companies, etc. You don't do any of that. You just recognize, I'm never upset for the reason I think. It's very simple.